So this morning we're going to read from the Gospel of John. You can follow along there on the screen. And this, think about this as I read it. Jesus, we're talking about paternity questions. I don't know, you'll see that in a moment. But Jesus was often questioned about who he is. Who was his father? You know, where does he come from? And he tried to say, it was a little difficult for him to say it to people. And in John, he speaks a little bit more mysteriously about it, but he still says it as plain as he can. So the scripture takes place in the 10th chapter of John. The time came for the feast of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in Solomon's porch. Some people gathered around him and said, "How long will you make us wonder about you? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I told you already, but you did not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name show who I am, but you don't believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never die, and no one can steal them out of my hand. My Father gave my sheep to me. He is greater than all, and no person can steal my sheep out of my Father's hand. The Father and I are one." Paternity question. This was a sign I saw on a subway in D.C., or in, not D.C., in Chicago several years ago. And it sort of struck me as, wow, there's so many things that this is saying that somebody would ask this question. Why someone would need to know, who is the father of this child? And of course, this says that you can find the answers at your local pharmacy. You can get a test and find out who your father is. But as odd and maybe as provocative as that sign might be to us, the reality is that in some way, this is really speaking to us as Christians. Jesus was often dealing with paternity questions. People wanted to know, who's your father? We don't know who your father is. They seemed to know that Joseph was a stand-in, that Joseph was not the real father. And so he was often called names that were difficult for a person to have to hear. Names that someone without knowing who their father is might be called today a little differently back then. And, you know, we know ourselves so much by our names. Our names have an importance to us. My last name is Robinson. Originally that comes from somewhere where son of Robin. Because back in the time of Jesus, you were known by who your father was. Your name would be, like Jesus would have been called, Jesus, son of Joseph, if that was his father. But since they didn't know that, sometimes they called him son of Mary. We know your mom, but we don't know who your dad is. This was a sort of slam. This was a reminder. You're illegitimate. You don't count. You're of a class of people that don't have rights. And Jesus had to grow up and live with this kind of thing. And yet for Jesus, it wasn't something that stopped him from being who he was, because he knew the answer to his paternity question was easy for him. He was the Son of the Father in heaven. He was God's Son. And not just in the sense of like you and I are God's children, but he understood his real relationship with God connected him in a way that was different. I and the Father are one. That's what he would say to people, and they couldn't understand that. But it didn't bother him. He realized that it was important for him to know who he was, not what other people thought. Last night on the way home from an event Jane and I went to for a friend, I was listening to a song by the Goo Goo Dolls, Name. I don't know how many of you know that song. And I don't always, I've listened to it many times over the years, but I don't really pay attention to what the song's about. I sort of just sing along like, I won't know your name, or I won't tell your name. And then I realized, as I heard a verse of it while I was waiting for James, she ran into the store and I was waiting for her, and I heard these words, so I had to look them up to see what they say. In that song, they sing, "And now we're grown-up orphans and never knew their names. We don't belong to no one. That's a shame." Can you imagine what it's like to grow up an orphan? In a sense, not the orphan that's lost their mother and father and know who they were, but an orphan who never knew who their parents were. Maybe somebody here has grown up that way. Oh, that's a tough thing to grow up not knowing. When I first got into ministry, when I first started my first year in ministry, the phone rang on Palm Sunday. Jane had gone shopping. I answered the phone, and this woman said, "Hi, I'm so-and-so. Is this Thomas Stanley Robinson?" Now you know my middle name. And I said, "Yes." And she goes, "Were you born on April 25th, 1932? And I go, "Oh, no, that's my dad. He was born then. I'm the third. He's junior." She then asked me, "His parents this and this?" And I said, "Yeah." And she goes, and she asked me a couple questions more, where he was born. And I said, "Yeah, that's correct." And I'm thinking, maybe this has something to do with the census. So she goes, "Well, I don't know how to tell you this, but I'm your sister." And I said, "Oh, my dad was young once, I guess, you know, things could have happened." So she said, "And he was married to my mother." And I said, "Oh, no, that's impossible. My dad was never married before." So she said, "I'm looking at the marriage certificate. That's where all this information is." So I said, "Let me call my dad." And I got her name and number, and "I'll call you back and tell you what I find out." So I called my dad and I said, "Hey, Dad, did you ever know a woman named such and such?" And he said, "Yeah." I was sure the answer to the next question was going to be, "Oh, that crazy woman, no." So I said, "Were you ever married to her?" And he said, "Yeah." And I sat down and I'm like, "Oh my God, I don't know my own dad. Who is this guy?" And here was this woman looking for her father, and according to her mother, my dad was her father. And my dad had been married to her mother at one time before my parents met. So, kind of accepted this, except my mom. She was totally against this. They had known about this. My brother and I were in the dark. My parents knew about my dad being married before. Of course, my dad knew. My mom knew as well. But they finally, after about 2 years of this relationship thing going on, we finally convinced my dad, "Just get a blood test to be sure. You know, let's make it absolute." So they convinced my dad and this woman to get the blood test. And it turned out she was not my sister. She wasn't related to us. And it was sort of sad for her because she truly has been searching for her father all her life and has been told different stories by her mother. And the birth certificate was not conclusive at all. And so here's this woman that still, as far as I know to this day, has never been able to find her father because her mother passed away shortly after that from cancer. So she has nowhere to go. People want to know sometimes where they come from, want to know their history. It's part of a natural thing. And the thing that we have to recognize is that even though we may never know all those answers, God says to us the one most important answer to your question of who you are is that you are my child. I don't know if you've ever heard of Fred Craddock. He was a famous homiletics preacher. He taught preachers how to preach. And he shared one time, he was at my ordination service when I was ordained and preached there. And he told a story one time about an experience that he had with his wife. They'd gone on a short vacation down to Gatlinburg in Tennessee. And one night they found a place to go out for dinner. Just a quiet little place, and they thought this will be a nice place to eat, a little privacy. So they're sitting down for dinner when they notice this distinguishedly dressed man, white hair, walking around, greeting and talking to people at the tables. And Fred said to his wife, "Oh, I hope he doesn't come over here." just want to have this private time, those two of us. So, because he said that to himself and thought that kind of thought and said it to his wife, the man naturally came over to the table. Well, hey there, folks, how you doing? Where are you from? We're from Oklahoma. Oh, that's a great state, I hear. I've never been there, but I hear good things about it. So what do you do for a living? So Fred said, I'm a homiletics teacher at a graduate seminary at Phillips University. Oh, so you teach preachers how to preach. Well, I've got a story I want to tell you. And he pulled up a chair and he sat down at the table. Everything Fred was hoping to avoid was happening. And he said, because he thought to himself like a lot, here's another story I'm going to have to hear. Everybody always wants to tell me preacher stories so I can preach them. So the man sat down and said, offered his hand and said, I'm Ben Hooper. I was born not far from here, over in across the mountains, and my mother wasn't married when I was born. So I had a hard time. When I started school, my classmates had a name for me. A not very nice name that really cut me. And so I would, on recess and lunchtime, I would often go and sit by myself so I wouldn't be teased, because it hurt too much. What was worse was on a Saturday was going into town and walking down and feeling like everybody's eyes were on me, looking at me, wondering who's the father of that kid? And it always made me feel ashamed. When I was about 12 years old, a new preacher came to our little church, and I would go to hear him. I'd slip in after the service had started and sit quietly in the back and then get out of there before the service ended so nobody could see me. But one day the preacher finished his benediction so fast that I couldn't get out in time, and soon I had to walk out with all the people looking at me. And as I was going past, I felt this big hand on my shoulder and said, well, turned out to be the preacher. And I looked up and he was looking right at me and he said, so who are you, son? Whose boy are you? And I felt that old weight come on me. It was like a big black cloud over my head. Even the preacher was putting me down. But as he looked down at me, studying my face, he began to smile across his face and this look of recognition. And he said, wait a minute. I know who you are. I see the family resemblance. You are a son of God. And with that, he slapped me on the butt and sent me on my way and said, boy, you've got a great inheritance. Go claim it. And I have to tell you, Mr. Craddock, that that was the most significant, important sentence anyone ever said to me in my life. Changed me from that moment on. And with that, he smiled and he headed off to another table to greet some of the folks he knew over there. And suddenly, Fred Craddock remembered that in Tennessee's history, only twice had it elected illegitimate men to be their governor. And one of them was named Ben Hooper. See, God says to all of us, no matter what our situation is, no matter where we come from, no matter who our parents are, who they were, where we come from, all the things we may not know about ourselves, the most important thing God says is that you are my son, you are my daughter, you matter more to me than anything in the world. And we might challenge that, we might question that, we might struggle like the girl in the video did, we might have questions about our own family history, but the main thing we have to always know, no matter what, is that we're a child of God. Because when we identify with that, I'll tell you something. I used to sit a lot at McDonald's up there in Easton. I would go there for breakfast and When I would sit in there for breakfast, all the old people were in there. I'm talking old. In fact, they were so old, some of them claimed that, like, I remember this old guy saying, "Oh no, here comes that old lady. I hate her." And I thought, who could be older than that guy? And there was someone much older than him, who must have been like 99 years old. But I remember listening to them talk, and they would talk about doctor's appointments, and I hoped I would never be there, and now that's me. And they would talk about things. But one of the things I noticed was the difference between what the men and the women talked about. The men talked about politics and the wars that they'd been involved in, and things like the jobs that they used to work at. And the women talked about their grandchildren and their children and people that they were related, you know, that were related to them, and about family relationships. And I thought, what a difference. I mean, if I were to go around the room right now and I were to say to you, and you hadn't thought about this, and I'd just come up and say, "Hey, who are you?" Most likely the men would start off by saying, "Well, I'm a fill in the blank, a teacher, I'm a administrator." Men tend to start off with their jobs, what we do for a living, what gives us our identity, I guess. And women would start off by saying, "Well, I'm a mother and a grandmother." Women talk about their relationships. And I have tested this out a few times and found it to always be the case, more than most times. And I think that's one of the reasons that women go through a crisis when their kids grow up and move out, that empty nest, because they've identified themselves as a mother, and now the kids are gone and don't need them as much. And men struggle when they lose their jobs or they retire, because suddenly their identity is taken from them. But brothers and sisters, I want you to know something, that the first identity, your first identity before all those things, you are a child of God, and if you can cement that into your heart and connect it there and make it attached, that no matter what else you are, no matter what else you do, no matter who else you're connected to, that number one, you are a child, a son, a daughter of God, no matter what else. Perhaps you can avoid the crisis of the changes in life, because that will never change. Jesus said to his followers, "My sheep know my voice, and no one can take them from me." No one can take you from God. You're held in his hand. And as a child of God, that will never, ever change. God will never let you go. Well, you might run off once in a while and do your own thing. God will always be there, right beside you, so that when you turn around and say, "I gotta go back," there's God ready to walk with you. Because he's always with you. When they asked Jesus, "Tell us plainly who you are. Are you the Messiah?" Jesus said, "I've told you." You know, that Messiah thing, you guys have it so small and limited. I'm not here to save you from Rome. I'm here to save you for eternity, from death, from separation from God. I'm here to reconcile you and bring you home. Your home, brothers and sisters. God has brought you home through his son. He gave his life for you to be home. Live like a child of God. You, as I look at your faces, as I look around, I see the family resemblance. I see God's face in all of you. You are children of God. Now claim that inheritance and live it. Amen.